This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
From the WEEI studios, 93.7 WEEI FM and HD1, Lawrence, Boston, and Odyssey Sports Station.
This portion of the WEEI Afternoon Show is brought to you by Matthews Auto Group. No haggle car buying at Matthews Nissan of Wellesley on Route 9 or MatthewsNissanOfWellesley.com.
Here's the pitch. Grissom fouls it back. And it stays 2-2. The guy on deck, though, is the number one headline of this season. Jaron Duran.
And he's going to finish the year fourth in all of baseball in WAR.
2-2. Pitch to Grissom. That is strike three called. The ball game is over. And the Red Sox officially eliminated in 2024. 6-1, the Blue Jays win it. Sox brought it to the end of September, but they come up short and they will miss the playoffs for the fourth time in 5 years.
I'm not happy, you know, but like it's very quiet. It's very quiet, which is good. Like I've been saying all along, you know, outside the walls here, nobody expected us to play all the way till now, you know, meaningful games. You know, our goal was to make it to the playoffs. It didn't happen, but it's a good learning experience for those kids over there. And obviously, it's going to be a different group next year. But for them to think that they were almost there, you know, like, I mean, at one point, it felt like we were a playoff caliber team. And then it just... we miss the opportunity. Let's put it that way. You look around, you look at the teams that are fighting, you know, like we had it right there and we blew it.
The Afternoon Show with Christian Arcand and Andy Hart starts now on WEEI.
And that's how it ended, the Red Sox season, with a whimper. Up in Toronto, I should say. It's Christian Arcand, Andy Hart, WEEI Afternoons. Nice to have you with us here today as we, go over the season that was here for the Boston Red Sox, a season that did show some real promise, certainly in June and July of this summer. And then after the All-Star break, things definitely fell apart in a way that could not be fixed. A 500 team, almost from beginning to end with a couple of gaps there, but really a team that could not figure out how to get out of its own way, a team that may or may not have invested enough into its roster, and a team that seems to be building for the future. And that's the headline here from the Red Sox, from their manager, from their president of baseball operations. I'm sure we're going to hear something from Sam Kennedy, maybe Warner, maybe even John Henry. Probably not John Henry, but definitely the other guys. Maybe Theo says something.
I feel like John Henry, we might get one of those stories with Sean McAdam or somebody where there's a couple emailed responses to questions or whatever. I feel like we'll get a comment from him at
Linda,
some point.
Take a letter.
Take a memo.
That's the way that it ended. It was a disappointing season, I think. I know, Andy, you were a lot more optimistic about this team and this season and what this season produced than I am. But let's start with the review of basically what this season was. It was a season that started off with very low expectations, and I think that's important when you talk about this Red Sox season to remember. Coming into this, no one really thought they would be competing for much. No one thought they'd be in the race. It was an ugly finish last year, and they didn't do a lot to really upgrade the roster. We thought some of the young players would get better, and they did. Certainly Jaron Duran did. I think that Tristan Casas had that injury and everything, but you know that he's someone that's going to continue to develop and get better. Your pitching staff, a lot of those young guys got better and gave you a lot this year, but it just ended up not being enough. And even when they were playing at their best, and I'm talking about from June 15th on, when they went on that long win streak, they had a short losing streak in the middle of it, but really were dynamite for about a month's time, maybe a little more than that. And it seemed like this was going to be, and you just heard Alex Cora reference it, you sounded like this was going to be a team that could compete, a team that was in playoff position, in the playoff hunt, a team that was right there with Kansas City, right there with Detroit, was getting close to the Yankees and the Orioles. There was a point where they were only like four or five games back in the division this year. So it wasn't all bad. I mean, to be sure, it wasn't all bad. There were some highs with this team and then basically lows for the entire second half.
We blew it.
I agree, Alex. I mean, this was... I do. I think that they did blow it. I think that there was a way that they could have maintained not exactly the level of play that you had there before the break, but something close to it, and they just didn't want to. They didn't want to commit to it. They thought Danny Jansen and James Paxton and all that. I blame Breslow for that, and to a lesser extent. I'd say, you know, Alex Cora, too. I think that everybody has to take some ownership of this. Everybody has to take some ownership of the fact that whether it's Chaim Bloom or Craig Breslow, this team now, for however many years in a row, continues to fall apart in the second half.
So I think that's a big factor here, is the 3 years of falling apart, which both Alex Cora and Craig Breslow have acknowledged that they're looking into, trying to figure out. We talked to Cora about it probably a month ago, one of our first shows probably, and I think that matters, and that's a factor in the way we feel about this season. I also think it's, so you blew it, but you also kind of overachieved in a way, and I just wonder, if you flipped your all-star, pre-all-star break run of success and move that to the end of the season right now, and then they came up short. Same thing happened. You finish, you know, whatever they are, 80 and 80, whatever.
Yep.
So wouldn't it feel different? Even though it's the same result and it's the same record, but the order of operations changes. They created expectations in the middle of the year that then they kind of just regress to where people expected them to be anyway, right?
It would definitely feel different. 100% it would feel different.
But now you have the manager saying, we blew it.
You blew it!
Yeah.
Would he be saying we blew it if the losing had come 3 months ago? And now, and then you come up short, would he say, we blew it in the middle of the season? You know, we dug a hole we couldn't get out of. I just wonder.
Dug a hole we couldn't get out of, I think, is a good way of putting it. That's not the same as blowing it. I mean, when I think of those terms, we're splitting hairs here, but I think that's something we would have been talking about and that you would have been able to honestly look back at.
Would
and
it
say,
have been better?
I think it would have been better.
Because of the last couple of years of fading in August and September, if you at least flipped it, even if you get to the same spot, let's just even pretend
this would have been more exciting.
Yes.
These months here would have been more exciting, which I think would have been better.
But bad in the summer.
Bad in the summer, sure. And that may have gotten people to tune out. But once you start getting close, and I mean, how close are we talking here? Like where they are now? Like, I don't know.
No, exact
that.
Same if you had gotten to the exact same spot, but you started in last place.
Okay.
And you were, whatever, 10 games out of the wild card, and then you made a run, and everybody's like, wait, you're 7? You're 6? You're 5? You get to 4? Like, I think that would have been appreciated, and that would have maybe built some momentum heading into the offseason. Forget about what they're saying, right? Like, it would have been, when in reality, it's the exact same performance, just kind of jumbled up. You ever play Words with Friends, and you press that button, and it mixes your letters up in a different order so you can see them differently?
Yes.
That's what this season could have been.
Yeah.
You'd be like, oh my God, there was a good season there. Instead, people like you people, think it was a terrible season. And most people...
That didn't happen, Andy.
No, I know, but I'm
just saying.
But it's
didn't
the
happen.
Same season.
No,
the
it exact... isn't. What? It's not the same season. They fell apart in the second half like they've done for three straight years. That's not the same as what you just said.
Right,
what you just said would have been
who's
better.
Who's they that fell apart?
The Red Sox.
No, but which part? Because that's the other issue. I listened to Craig Breslow this morning talk about, he kind of blamed it all on the bullpen.
It was bullpen was part of it, but the offense fell apart in the second half right after the All-Star break. The offense was very poor. I think that you did get a stretch. I forget exactly when it was, but there was a stretch of weaker starting pitching. That's when
the
ERA went up.
That's why I think they stink. Nothing was consistent. They didn't do... Now, they started consistently. We talked about that with Corey yesterday. Three guys with 30 starts, a fourth with 25.
And they were consistently .500 through most of the first half of the season until the last month or so.
But they didn't do anything. They never married up consistently good baseball. It was like, we're going to be carried by our pitching. Nah, we'll be carried by our hitting, right? And the defense was either bad or good enough.
Defense was bad.
I don't know.
Defense was
like,
bad this
that
year.
Was never great.
Ultimately, I was looking at the number, team numbers. It was not good this year.
But to me, that's why they lost. I don't know that they – I think they played to who they are, quite honestly. I think you got to the right point of who you are. You don't have an ace. You got some young guys you're trying to develop into becoming, hopefully not aces, because hopefully the ace comes from outside the organization. And then you go, ah, that Tanner Houck's a really good two-starter.
Right.
And all of that falls into place.
Which they didn't do any of that, by the way.
Oh, no, they didn't.
Yeah.
They didn't, but I don't.
Before the year or at the trade deadline.
I would disagree with Cora. I don't think they blew it. I think they kind of perform to who they are. They're a developing young baseball team who found some good, but also had to acknowledge the bad and the limitations.
But they are who we thought they were.
Exactly.
Thank you, Dennis.
They were 53-43, 10 games over 500 going into the second half. They are mm-hmm. now currently one game over 500. You can do the math on your own time here. I don't know what they're going to finish as, but that is not, I look at that in the second half and I can't look at that and say that's performing to what we thought. That was to get back down to that level.
So you hammered the over before the season.
I didn't touch this team.
Because, I mean, if you thought you were they were much better, I bet at 79.5, I took the under. They're at 80 wins. I lose by a half a game,
mm-hmm.
and that might be it. So
I thought they'd be worse than this. My expectations for them were that they would be worse.
So they overachieved.
Not really. I don't think so. I think that they overachieved to my preseason expectations.
Yeah.
But then once the season started and you saw that they were at least a 500 team, I mean, you could say they overachieved in the first in May and April. I mean, that was when it seemed like, okay, they're better than I thought they would be. So fine. If they overachieved for that, for my preseason expectation, then fine. But after being a 500 team for 2.5 months, they showed that there could be something more than that. And then they fell apart. I mean, you can't deny that they fell apart in the second half.
They didn't play well, but I didn't expect them to play well in the totality of the season. So they overachieved and then they fell apart. I guess you can have both of those in one long baseball season. That's a reality. It's 162.
Sure.
How many times have we heard him talk about all these young guys figuring out how long the season is? I listened to Bradfoe yesterday do his, what's it called, the two-minute grill?
Yes.
Presented by McFarland, our mm-hmm. friends over there. And Raffaello was like, ooh, this is long. You play in the minor leagues, but this is different up here. This is long. And that is the reality. They overachieved for a while, then they underachieved, and guess what that means? They achieved about what they should have achieved this year because Vegas puts them at 79.5, they're at 80. So the expectations were actually pretty, the exterior, because that's where he made the divide.
Right, but the expectations changed.
Outside. See, mine didn't. I told you this 3 months ago.
When they were 10 games over 500, your expectation didn't change?
We could probably find the tapes when I filled in with you and Jones, and I said, it's not sustainable. You're not this good. You're not going to keep doing this.
You thought they were going to fall back down to 500?
Yes, I thought they'd regress.
If they had played 500 ball from then on out, they would still be 10 games over 500.
I thought they would regress. I didn't think they were that good. I didn't think you could lean on Tanner Houck to be this dominant ace with a 1-1 ERA, whatever the hell it was. Like, I thought there were. Now, I was, I think, wrong on Duran. He continued it at
a
pretty high pace.
Still was good, yes.
But, no, I thought the team would go back because that's, to me, that's the great challenge of putting a team together that has no known commodities. You really don't have anybody to lean on. And you have Devers.
He's a commodity.
He's your guy. But did he have a great year? Did he ever get over 30 or is he still stuck at 28?
It's a good question. He did have a good season. Statistically, it was a good season.
Because he had bad shoulders and he was terrible
for a
while.
He hit 272 with 28 home runs, 83 RBIs, and an 871 OPS. That's a pretty good year.
So he's been on 28 home runs for like 700 days.
True.
It feels like forever.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's your tent pole. That's your guy that you're supposed to count on being there every day, right? And carrying you at times.
I don't know if I count on him to be there every day, but he's there. He's their highest
More often
paid
than
player.
Not.
He's supposed to
if you
be
don't,
their guy. Yes, right.
If you don't count on him, who are you counting on coming into the year? Duran might be entering that chat.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the problem. If you don't have anybody to count on that are known commodities, that you know whether it's April or September, I feel pretty good that when that guy comes to the ballpark, he's going to do his job that night.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't have a lot of those. And if you had some of those guys that were performing certainly above their previous expectations,
right,
or even hopeful expectations, that's why I thought they would regress. And that's why that gets into the offseason topic of you do have a good young core to build around. Now you need to bring in tent poles, guys that the manager, guys that the organization can rely on to be there every day because they've done it for X number of years. And that's why they're expensive
because right.
they've proven they can do it.
We said the same thing last year.
Yeah.
Last year in August, this team was one game out of the wild card. In mm-hmm. August. All right? I mean, it was, you know, like that's closer than they were, I think, at any point in August this year. And this year, we're all talking about how good they were. They were more games over 500 this year, I think, than they ever were last year. But either way, like, they were in the mix much longer than this team was in terms of the real wild card and actually mm-hmm. being within, like, spitting distance. Like, you could win it that night. You could be in the position that night. And last year, you didn't hear any of the same kind of stuff. I mean, it wasn't, well, you know, look how close they are. Now is the offseason where you got to go out and do it. Look at this young talent that they have. Look at all these players here and look at these these young pitchers. No one treated it that way, and now all of a sudden I'm supposed to believe, after another 500 season, another missing the playoffs type season, that this is going to wake everybody up and get everyone going? I'm not falling for it again. I don't think this is full throttle. I mean, what are they going to say that's going to convince you? Was it Craig Breslow this morning? We have this here. This was from Greg Hill, the Greg Hill Show this morning. Breslow was asked directly, where were they? Mohegan Sun, by the way? Is that where they were today? I saw them at some casino. It looked like Mohegan Sun.
They were at Foxwoods.
They were at Foxwoods?
Yeah, for the EchoStar Invitational.
Very good. Foxwoods, Mohegan Sun was one or the other. I got it wrong, but there you go. Anyway, they're down at Foxwoods, and they talk with Breslow on the phone for the last time, just like we talked with Cora for the last time yesterday, and here's what Breslow said about management and spending.
Yeah, the commitment from ownership to get the Red Sox, you know, to get us where we need to go is strong. You know, it's up to me, up to the rest of the front office to figure out what opportunities we need to pursue. But you know, I don't have any questions about ownership's willingness to do what we need to do to put the Red Sox back where we belong.
Word salad. I don't like it. I don't like when it's word salady like that.
Yeah, but you're going to get that from him.
He does say I don't have any questions that management is going to get in the way. Can you play that one more time? Can you just play that last part of the answer, Jackson, if you would? Because you got to, I mean, not that we're going with a fine-tooth comb, but he doesn't make a lot of declarative statements. You know what I mean? He's not like, yes. It's like, I don't have any questions. Just play it one more time, if we could. Please.
Yeah, the commitment from ownership to get the Red Sox, you know, to get us where we need to go is strong. You know, it's up to me, up to the rest of the front office to figure out what opportunities we need to pursue. Mm-hmm. But you know, I don't have any questions about ownership's willingness to do what we need to do to put the Red Sox back where we belong.
That means to spend, right? Right, to spend.
Yeah, they're going
to
spend.
Do what we need to do.
I took that
as
they're
going to
spend.
I don't have any questions about. Oh, but then why didn't you say spend?
I'm there for almost all these interviews on the morning show, and I can tell you, there's about 10 questions. And the 10 answers that he gives every single week are the exact same answer.
Very similar, right? Yeah.
That's just who he is. I mean, I don't put too much stock into that. Like, he's a guy that's definitely going to be measured by his actions, mm-hmm. not his words. We're not looking at him to hype us up. Alex Cora is a better hype man than he is, right?
Even if he did say directly, we're going to go spend a lot of money, I still wouldn't believe that either.
See, I would.
Because I shouldn't have believed full throttle last year.
I think your comparison last year and this year, like, to me, they're not even close. The pitching staffs, the guys that you've developed there, where Bayo is now as a 30-game starter, where Tanner Houck is a guy that some people think is an ace. Like, the way that has developed, and then you go to the lineup.
They're considered better, sure. Like, and last Chris Sale was on the team last year.
Last year you were excited because Casas was great late.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Raffaello was pretty damn good all year long, correct?
Raffaello was good, yeah.
Abreu was pretty damn good all year long.
Yeah, he was hurt a lot, but yeah.
But good. Mm-hmm. He's a good player.
Yep.
We just talked about Duran. Maybe solidified himself, kind of stabilized, and like, this is who I am. I'm top five war guy. Maybe he's not quite that.
Right.
But he's a core player that you may want to build around. You've added, and then the part that you don't want to acknowledge, which is fine. You people tend to be annoying at times.
What?
The group of minor leaguers either didn't exist last year or is much higher now. Like,
They're definitely higher now.
I had never heard of Campbell. I had never heard of Campbell, and now he's Barry Bonds 2.0.
Right.
And Roman Anthony is now the best prospect in baseball, so he's continued to evolve. And now the stories about him are borderline like the natural. Like, this guy's can't miss. This is Ken Griffey Jr. Yeah. This is A-Rod.
And
no
one's ever overhyped a prospect before ever in the history of baseball.
No, but it's continued. Happened. It hasn't continued with Marcelo Mayer.
Well, sure, it's because he got hurt.
So now you have multiple guys that are hyping upward who are at a higher level of baseball who, quite honestly, everybody assumes a number of them will be on the team.
Oh,
a
yeah.
couple, right? Like, half
I don't know
of
if they'll
them,
be
whatever.
Good, but they're going to get shots.
Oh, yeah, no.
Absolutely.
Like, they're in the cut. They are not Wu Sox. They are Red Sox, right? They're in that conversation, the major league camp. So I think you have come light years on the Red Sox roster, light years within the organization. And because you're closer, now you choose to not believe Breslow. That's fine. You have trust issues with general managers
100%,
and
yes.
chief baseball operators.
I've been hurt by this team before, and so have you, and so is everybody
Absolutely.
Else listening right now.
But I choose to believe this guy because he hasn't burned me yet. He's a different guy with a different voice. As Rich Keefe likes to say, he's bloomed with a curveball.
I feel a little burnt by this trade deadline, to be quite honest with you.
Oh, you should feel burnt.
I feel a little burnt
by that.
That
was a bit of a bait and switch or a magician there. Look over here and ignore the fact that I checked off the boxes you wanted. They all suck, but I checked off the boxes
Pretty
you
lousy.
Wanted.
And at least with the relievers, they were having good seasons up until that point. James Paxton, I thought, was like an okay patch for the end of the rotation. Jansen, I never heard of before. No one ever heard of the guy. And they didn't get really any of those things that you were hoping for in terms of frontline starter, recognizable name power bat, someone that actually had like the numbers to back it up, even if it wasn't a name you knew, someone who had those kind of numbers, which Jansen didn't. And it all kind of fell apart very quickly. The relievers, I don't know. I had an open mind about that. But really what they needed, more so than I think help in the bullpen, as bad as things looked at that time, if you're talking about really making a push, right-handed power bat and the starting pitcher, and they didn't really address either one of them.
So can I get you to verbally vote in my Twitter poll? It's a very simple Twitter poll.
Yay or nay?
The 2024 Red Sox season was a relative success,
mm-hmm.
another cheap-out failure. Which would you vote?
I vote another cheap out failure.
You and 87% of your friends, it is a blowout.
Yeah.
If they feel
this
like...
This is a landslide.
Kind of amazing. Mm. You don't get too many polls that are as lopsided as this on Twitter.
True.
And I'm a little surprised. I thought there was... We had a text earlier that said, they got my 16-year-old kid to watch baseball and be interested in the Red Sox. That's a win for them. You know, now you need about a million more of those, and it'll really resonate in the bucket full of who gives an F. No offense, Texter. I appreciate that. I agree with you. But I'm surprised that there isn't more goodwill. Now, I will say, just for polling purposes, my Twitter feed tends to be football slanted.
Mostly, yes.
You know, there's more
that,
Patriots
yeah.
fans, and that's my world.
And they don't know baseball, man.
And they're Patriots fans. they're not. They may not be Red Sox fans. Whatever.
Right.
But 87% think this year was another cheap out failure. That's saying something.
Yeah. I think that's accurate. I agree with that. I think that cheap out failure is a good way of putting it. A success in your third straight year not making the playoffs is, I can't compute that. I'm sorry. It's the Boston Red Sox.
Develop the core of your team.
Well, you can do that and also compete. You can do that and also spend on a starting pitcher. You can do that and also put a little
Giolito
bit more.
Giolito was hurt.
Whatever, Giolito. You could go better than Giolito. Blake Snell was out there, and Montgomery and all these other guys were sitting out there waiting to be signed for months and months and months. And they really would have, maybe not Montgomery. He had a bad year, but like Snell definitely would have.
He got sent to the bullpen and
other
sucked.
Guys you could have had, and you just decided now we're good. And then Giolito gets hurt, and I don't think he would have helped you that much anyway because he's not that good himself. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. We will hear more from the Red Sox as we throw some dirt on the casket of the 2024 Boston Red Sox season. Jaron Duran spoke last night. We'll get into that also. We'll spin zone what Andy Hart was just talking about right now at 2:45. Did the Red Sox actually have a good season? We'll spin zone that. First, here's Stiz with what's trending.
The exclusive home for Patriots Monday and Friday.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
All right, let's get you caught up with what's trending right now on WEEI and WEEI.com. The Red Sox now officially eliminated from playoff contention after they lost to the Blue Jays 6-1 last night in Toronto. Red Sox have the day off today. They will close out their season with a three-game series against the Tampa Bay Rays. That starts tomorrow night. First pitch from Fenway at 7 p.m. across the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Network. Shaw's perfecting the art of fresh. The Bruins preseason continues tonight. The Bruins are in New York taking on the Rangers. Puck drops at 7 p.m. from Madison Square Garden, the second best garden. The Patriots back on the practice field today as they get ready for their Week 3 tilt on the road against the 49ers. Mike Onwenu and Jabril Peppers, both full participants in yesterday's practice. And the Week 4 in the NFL kicks off tonight as the Cowboys are in New York taking on the Giants, kickoff at 8:15. Don't forget, you can catch that game right here on WEEI. Our Westwood One coverage begins at 7:30, or download the Odyssey app and take us wherever you go. Trending brought to you by Jackson Lumber. Contractors, builders, and homeowners, visit Jackson Lumber in Millwork for all your residential remodeling or commercial building materials and supplies. Jackson Lumber in Millwork, providing solutions and delivering results since 1946. I'm Stiz. That's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com. More afternoon show.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain. All symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts. equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, MIDI.com.
Coming up.
This is Afternoons with Arcand and Hart on WEEI. On WEEI.
I mean, I thought we had a pretty good year, man. I mean, we made a good run. You know, I mean, it's just baseball. You know, we just ran into some slumps that didn't help us. But, you know, at the end of the day, like, I'm proud of what this clubhouse was able to do and what we accomplished. So, I mean, it's a good building block for the next year, and I'm really proud of this team.
Jaren Duran, who I don't think there's much debate, the MVP of the team this year, right?
Yeah.
I'd say easily MVP of the team. I don't even have to think about it that long.
Well, I mean,
seems like you're considering someone.
Well, no, when you asked Cora, he tried to include Devers, but Devers,
I'm not telling you what Cora thinks. I'm saying what
Devers ain't done crap since you asked him that, basically.
Right. And he wasn't doing great prior to that either. I think it's Duran.
What about the young pitchers?
Duran with a bullet. And the pitchers, listen, Houck had a good year. Crawford had a good year. Yeah. I don't think any of them came close to being as impactful and exciting and all the things that you want in a young player. And he's not even that young. He's like 27. He's a 27-year-old prospect. This
fine.
Guy.
Whatever.
But he's had a tremendous year, a tremendous season, and I think is himself the main building block, or one of the main building blocks that this team is going to try and build around.
So you're not trading him?
With lefty outfielders coming up through the system. I wouldn't trade him, no. I might trade one of these kids, but I wouldn't trade him. Not someone who has proven he can do it. You know, it's like trading,
I agree.
Be like trading Mookie Betts again. Like, no thanks. I'll trade the unknowns and keep the guy that I know can be an all-star and an all-star game MVP and everything else. And also who, you know, it wasn't great what happened with him this year in the fan. Obviously, it's something that was one of the lows, I'd say, low points of the season. But he was able to sort of bounce back from that. He apologized. Then he continued to play well after he got back from his suspension. So he faced some adversity. He dealt with it, and he continued to produce. So all of those things I consider to be positive. Not what he said to the van, obviously, but everything else I consider to be sort of positive for that
positive.
Player. It was not positive. But you know what I mean? Like, that was a thing that could have derailed his whole season,
yes,
and it didn't.
It did
and
not.
I think he learned a lesson, I think, anyway. I don't know. It seemed like he did. Probably won't be doing that with fans anymore, I don't think. And there you go. You know, you move on with your life and you keep producing, which he did, and he was producing all the way right up until the end of the season.
Yeah, the only thing I would say is value-based, and we just were sort of arguing about it off-air because I joked. You know, sign Soto, sign Burns, you win the division. You make the Yankees worse, you make the Orioles worse, you make you better, you fill your needs, blah, blah, blah. Now, and you go, is he bat right-handed? If he bats right-handed, so
that is a very good impression of me, by the way.
A little cranky. A little cranky in the first hour. It's not the bitching hour. I don't know what the 2 o'clock hour is for you, but
any hour can be the bitching hour.
Oh, okay.
It doesn't have to be specific.
It could just be the
one.
Bitching show.
It could be the bitching show, yeah.
We don't have a name, so we might as well call it the bitching show. There's a lot to be done with the lineup. They're in this weird spot where they have too many players, but they need players, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, I know what you mean. No, they have log jams at a lot of places.
Yeah. And that's where I think, because I think on one level, Breslow's job is really simple. Go get a right-handed bat and go get an ace. And those are kind of like Dombrowski moves. Okay, well, whatever I get to trade or whatever I got to spend, those are doable, right? Like, you and I could do it. We might not do it well at the best value, but we could do it.
I think I'd do it well at the best value.
The rest of it, like figuring out the lineup, like, what do you do with Yoshida? How do you get rid of him? How do you package him in a deal? I'm paying salary. Like, there's going to be some of those. Tyler O'Neill.
Mm-hmm.
Are you trying to keep him? Do you tender him or whatever? Yeah, like, there's all these sort of
I think you're saying
layers.
Goodbye to both those guys. O'Neill's going to walk in free agency, and Yoshida's going to get traded for probably a bag of baseballs or
right.
something, you know?
And those things are going to matter, how you build the lineup around, I think, your big moves. Because I stand by my comment from the end of the day yesterday, and it was late in the show, so I want to revisit it. We made a bet. I guaranteed you there would be a notable signing and a notable trade.
Right, yes. Both of those things.
Yes. Mm-hmm. To me, those are really important. But also, in a weird way, combined as equally important will be who else is going? How are they figuring out this? You know, is Casas going and is Devers going to first? And are they signing Bregman? Mm-hmm. Are there other moves? Like, all of that, how that pieces together is going to be kind of important because they do they have a pretty good clubhouse, right? Don't you feel like they have a pretty good clubhouse?
It seems like it. It seems that way.
So it's going to get weird. Like, there's going to be guys gone or think they're going. And
veterans getting replaced by 19-year-olds, which may rub some people the wrong way. Sure, yeah.
So there could be a little bit of a change, or vice versa.
Right.
Your young buddy might be out, and he's replaced by a veteran guy. And now you don't have your young buddy, and, like, I don't really like the veteran. He's kind of a dink or whatever.
Doesn't seem like it's been going on lately with this team, but sure, yeah.
So I think those other moves, figuring out how to be less left-handed, like more diverse in the lineup while doing the big moves, mm-hmm. is going to be important. And it's, people have to go. Casas, Duran, like some of the prospects are going to go. Like somebody's going. Even the infield, right? Like what if Mayer...
Casas is part of the infield.
What if Mayer is awesome? What if he's healthy and awesome? Is he your shortstop?
Sure.
Where's Story?
Bye.
Okay.
Sidon Rafaela goes out to the outfield. You trade Story for whatever you can get.
I mean,
get.
Couldn't Mayer and Campbell... Campbell's a second baseman, right?
Campbell is... I thought he was an outfielder.
Oh, maybe he's an
maybe
outfielder.
He's both of those things.
Barry Bonds did not play second base.
No, he
especially
didn't.
Not later in his career when he bulked up.
Christian Campbell, according to MILB.com, is...
Should know this.
I should know this off the top of my head. I believe it doesn't say.
Don't you occasionally host the Red Sox pregame show or
yeah,
something?
Yeah, not the Woo Sox. Christian Campbell.
Yeah, second base outfield, according
second
to
base outfield.
Clappy
yep.
Cheeks 10.
That's what he is, yep, second base outfield.
So what if those are, what if they are...
Or shortstop outfield.
What if they are lights out, and you're like, Mayer's the shortstop, Campbell is the second baseman, we're all young. Well, where's Story? Another $20 million contract, we're just unloading?
Yep.
Are we paying some of it?
Sure.
So now we're trading, what's Yoshida, $18 million? So now we got to unload $38 million? Are we paying $38 million for guys to play elsewhere?
I mean, if it's Trevor Story, it has barely played here, so what's the difference?
I think some of these moves matter.
How would you know? How would there be any difference between Trevor Story getting paid a salary this year as opposed to playing somewhere else next
playing
year?
Playing now. He's
basically the same thing.
He probably has the best winning record on the Red Sox.
Oh, great.
Right?
Wow, when they went 4-2 at the end of the season. Great. Trevor Story, I know it was a tough injury, and I know he tried to come back, and I don't, not to make fun of the guy or anything, but like these aren't terrible problems to have. All right, well, what are we going to do with Trevor Story? You figure it out. You got a good young player coming up behind them. You have him as your bench player. You trade him for something. You're not going to have him as a bench player. He makes too much money. But then you trade him. You pay part of the contract. Some team will probably take him.
And then he'll win the MVP, like Chris Sale's winning the Cy Young.
Well, you know, that's what happens. But
I think these are problems. I, if they didn't make any money, I wouldn't care. If they were free and clear, you can move on easy. But you have guys making around $20 million a year, two of them, who you may not really want. Who you may not really need, but others aren't really necessarily going to line up to take him off your hands.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where I think the complexities come in for Craig Breslow, because I think the other stuff's simple. Go get a power bat, right-handed bat, and go get somebody that you think can be a freaking ace.
All right, building
Although
blocks.
That Crochet guy?
Crochet from the White Sox.
Did you see his numbers over the second half of the season?
No.
Not good.
Not good, huh?
Now, losing, not unexpected, because... The team he's on loses all the time.
True.
But I want to say his ERA was like in the sixes.
Oh.
After, remember he put up the whole thing, if I don't get an extension, I'm not playing in the postseason if you trade for me. Little Jeremy Swayman like, okay, I didn't want you to play in the postseason anyway. Why don't you stay in Chicago, you bum?
Yeah, I did not know that. That was someone I wanted them to get at the trade deadline, but that would have been probably not, probably would have backfired on him. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. Do you consider this season a success or not, Red Sox fans? We know what you said on the poll. What do you think? 617-779-7937. Looking ahead to next year's roster, the building blocks, no doubt about them, are what? Are there any? Is anybody a no doubt, like, this one, this is someone that we have here, and we're not going to even take phone calls about moving on from player X. Is there anybody that you consider to be in that sort of stratosphere on this team?
Nope.
Not Duran?
No. I mean.
Not Tanner Houck?
It would take a lot for me to do something, but shouldn't you always listen?
Generally, yes. I mean, we
don't have Ohtani.
Belief, right?
There's like this
Ohtani.
Handful of people that I probably wouldn't listen on. Mookie Betts, ironically, might be one of them, but they
Mookie
listened
Betts
on him.
Ohtani, there you go.
So,
fine. Is
no.
there anybody like Mookie Betts? Is there anybody that has that level where you're just like, all right,
no.
you're going to have to sell me the farm to trade this guy?
Now, you're going to have to really lure me to trade Duran. I think Duran is a guy, although the future for him contractually could get interesting. Like, right, that all of a sudden becomes a factor.
Yeah. And he's another lefty outfielder, by the way.
And yeah. I'm sorry, Roman Anthony is off the table. No, who would you trade Roman Anthony for?
Ohtani.
Okay, so you're not getting that.
No, probably not going to get him. Not a lot of people. I mean, you're talking the first number one prospect in the league right now.
And I know we do this all the time, but I don't know that it's always been the number one prospect in baseball.
Judge, I'd trade him for Judge.
I would probably trade him for Judge. That's a good one.
Yeah.
Skeens?
Skeens, I'd trade him for Skeens.
Scooble,
I trade him for, yeah.
So maybe there's a handful, but he's pretty close to untouchable in my mind, just based, and I've never seen him play. I've seen a couple highlights. I literally have seen a couple highlights. I've never seen him in person. I've never witnessed him.
I don't even know what he looks like. I don't know what Roman
person.
Anthony looks like. He could walk in here right now. I have no idea.
And if you're listening, feel free to come
on by. Come on in, Roman.
Love to do an interview and get to know you a little bit better before we decide to trade you.
Let's see what Roman Anthony's all about here. 617 before we ship him out of town. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. We got room for you on the phone lines. When we come back, we'll spin zone if this team it was a good season or not.
You bat right-handed, you bat right-handed.
Get Boston Sports Original on the go.
Wherever you go.
Just download the Odyssey app.
We're right back to it. Afternoons with Arcand and Hart on WEEI.
617-779-7937 is the phone number. As we continue to recap the Red Sox season that was and look ahead to next year, it's time to take this conversation to a place that is very near and dear to both the hearts of myself and Andy Hart, and that is the Spin Zone.
Spin Zone.
Spin Zone.
Spin Zone. Spin
Zone. It's the Spin Zone with Arcand and Hart on WEEI.
So I feel like I have to spin zone this more than you because you're the one who thinks that it was a successful season.
Yeah.
And you don't want to spin. You can't spin it as a negative. Like, you think this was all positive. You don't see any negatives from this season at all.
Oh, I can spin it as a negative if you want me to.
Well, no, I'm just saying, like, you genuinely don't feel that way.
No. My net feeling is positive.
My net feeling from the season is negative. But I'm willing to hear and see these young players.
Bring it.
Because that's the unknown. I mean, that's really the unknown about all this, is what these guys are going to look like as professionals. We don't know. We don't know if they're going to be the next Andrew Benintendi or the next Yoan Moncada or the next Mookie Betts or the next whatever. Like, there was, remember Andy Marte? I forget, they brought him over.
Oh, yeah.
Or they traded him maybe for Beckett, I want to say.
Yep.
He was a stud third baseman, Lars Anderson, you know, Stomi Pimentel, all these guys over the years who really, you know, names that got bandied about, put in trades. You can't trade Lars Anderson. He's going to be the next left-handed power bat on this team. And it just went on and on and on like this for years and years and years. And it happens every year. And that's why when, you know, you start hyping up these prospects and people talking about, well, he's the next Barry Bonds, I kind of tune that out. I find that to be, I don't know, just prospect humping is what it is. I mean, you get really excited about your prospects. You start hyping them up in your head, and all of a sudden you can't trade them for anybody, and they're all going to grow up to be great pros. And that's just not the way it is. It's not the way it goes, even with highly rated prospects like the Red Sox have. But I haven't seen them yet. So in order for me to be totally objective here, I have to allow for the fact that these guys are going to be good. And if they are good, that could elevate this team. Now, will it elevate them enough in the places that they need? That's the problem for me. All right? I'll be willing to hear that these guys are going to be good and that they're going to play well. But you're talking about mostly lefty outfielders, which this team already has and is already a strength of this current present-day team. And you're not really talking about any pitchers, and you're not talking about any right-handed power. And that's what this team's lacking. And that's where it's sort of the disconnect kind of comes in. These kids could all come up and be good. They could all come up and be great pros. But if you're just going to be cycling them through with Willy Abreu and Rafaela and trading Durant, whatever, and just resetting the outfield with a bunch of left-handed bats and not really addressing the other problems that you have or addressing them half-assed like you did at the deadline this year, I don't know how much better that makes you.
So
I spin zone myself back into being negative again. I double span it.
You awaken 180'd and then you awaken 180'd again.
I 360'd all the way back to being negative. But do you see what I mean? Like, that's, I'm willing to hear that these guys are going to come up and be good. I'm not sure that I trust this team to fill in around them and to do the right thing around them. They might be great. They could all be great prospects.
Well, if they're all great, then you're going to be doing just fine.
I think, yes.
If they're all great, you're going to be doing just fine. So, one correction.
If they're all Jaron Duran, then yes, you'll probably be fine.
Yoan Moncada was indeed the number one prospect in baseball at one point. And you know who was fourth on the list when Moncada was one?
Benintendi?
Devers.
Devers.
So, I don't know what the percentage is, but just law of averages, if you have four that are supposed to be like top 10 prospects, top 20 prospects, shouldn't you hit on at least two? I mean, I'm just throwing stuff
against
the wall.
Sometimes you don't hit on any.
A couple of them are going to be good. I feel like now you got to keep the right ones if you start to spin some of them off in trades. The other aspect is, So they drafted, what was the numbers this year? 12 of 13 were pitchers, or like it's some dramatic.
Yeah, it was something crazy like
chunk
that,
of their draft this year was pitchers. And I would also argue, aren't some of the young pitchers already here? Alex Cora took a little bit of a victory lap yesterday. Ah, this team hasn't developed any pitchers since Buckholz and Lester, right?
Well, now Crawford, Houck.
Right. Yeah. They're here. They're 30-game starters, right? They are potential.
So the first-round pick was an outfielder named Braden Montgomery. And then after that, it was lefty, righty, outfielder, lefty, righty, outfielder, righty, lefty, righty, righty, lefty.
So a lot of pitchers.
A lot of pitchers.
Yeah. There's a lot of pitchers. So those are a couple years away.
Oh, there's more than that. There's 20 rounds. So, yeah, there's a lot of pitchers. Yeah.
I'm not saying they are those guys are in the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Craig Hanson. Didn't they bring Craig Hanson up the year they drafted him?
Yes, they did.
That didn't go well. I mean, well, in the long run, it didn't go well.
At first, he was okay, but, yeah, then it fell apart.
But so they are filling the system with potentially prospect pitchers, but the bigger point is they have the pitchers. They're here now. They have a rotation that can be built around. Now you got to supplement it with hopefully a veteran ace. So that's one sort of retort to the pitching problem. And then I just think, when it was all Mayer, I had no faith in the plan. There was a portion of time there where the only name anyone ever talked about was Marcelo Mayer. Oh, I should have been the number one pick in the draft. He fell to you. Lucky, your fourth pick, this, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, then I'm worried because then I'm thinking, yeah, I've heard this before. Frankie Rodriguez was great, too. He could pitch and play shortstop.
Right.
And all these guys over the years. But there's four of them now. Four of them. So if you blew two of them, you still have two that could be studs. And unless everyone is really bad at evaluating, one or two of them have to work out. So the depth of the system, I think, is part of it. And the reality of you've already developed a few guys in recent years.
You have. And for the pitchers anyway, Crawford, Houck, and Bayo. Crawford and Houck are going to be 29 next year, so I don't necessarily know I'd call them young pitchers anymore. But Bayo's still in his mid-20s, 25. So, like, I'd go with you there.
But that they developed, isn't that good?
They developed, I'm sure.
Because doesn't that give you hope for the 13 pitchers you just drafted?
It does.
The system said I can develop pitchers.
But that means that if they're going to finally develop at 28, then these guys will all, you have to wait 9 years before you get anything from. It's going to be a long time.
Didn't the regime sort of change? We got Bailey here, and he kind of is doing things a different way, and some guys bought in.
Crawford and Houck were both productive on the team last year, and Bayo.
But they got better this year.
But I'm saying, like, it took 9 years for them to get to that point.
No, but what I'm saying
because
is.
Because of the pitching coach?
I mean, does it not have anything to do with the pitching coach?
I don't know. Probably not.
Wait, so we have a coach that is called the pitching coach that doesn't actually develop the pitchers.
I mean, I think they do to an extent. I think that Bailey at the beginning of the year had that whole thing about, like, yeah, we're not going to throw fastballs for a while, guys.
And it worked for a while, and then it kind of didn't work.
And then it didn't. And I also thought, I was annoyed on behalf of the pitchers when that all happened. That was a part of the year that annoyed me. All these pitchers come out, and they're having these great Aprils, great Mays, really good start to June. And, you know, Houck and Pivetta, all these guys, and some of them got hurt, but, like, they're out there pitching their ass off. And whenever anyone talked about it, they said, wow, isn't Andrew Bailey great? I was like, if I was one of those pitchers, I'd be like, bleep Andrew Bailey. I'm the one out there throwing the ball. Like, come on. Like, give me a break. Give me some props here.
You know who you
sound
like?
Crawford and Houck deserved that.
You sound like Mike Vrabel circa about 2003. He used to bitch about that. Oh, when we play well, it's the scheme. It's the coaching. It's the game plan. Is that how it is? But when it plays poorly, Mike Vrabel's too big or too old or can't play. And there's a little bit of that. I would agree with you.
Like, guys are out there. There was a lot of that. And
there's guys out there throwing the ball. You have to throw the ball. Like, he can tell me how he would prefer me to throw the ball or how he wants to mix up the pitches differently than we used to mix them up, but it's still me completing the pitches. But I actually do think the pitching coach and the pitching coach's program, which funnels down into the minor leagues, into the development system, I think the fact that those guys are improving and peaking. Now, Bayo's a weird one because did Bayo have a good year?
Not really.
Did he have a bad
ERA was 4.5. I'd say it's about average.
Yeah, see, I don't think he
won a lot of games. He's 14-8, but a 4.5 ERA.
I'm torn on him.
Hard to say. Yeah, it's hard to say.
He got the contract. We've stopped using the baby Pedro thing.
Right.
We've moved on from that. And
his whip was like 1.36. Like, that's not very good. You know, so.
I'm not sure he had a good year.
Yeah.
I don't think he had a terrible year, but I'm not sure.
If he had a good year, then Crawford and Houck had amazing years, and they didn't have amazing years. Yeah.
They didn't. So Bayo just kind of had a year. He, like, advanced his career somewhat. He's still young.
He ate some innings, you know?
Right. He's still young. And
basically it, yeah.
Right. And didn't fall on his face after getting the contract, but didn't exactly say, wow, what a steal that contract was. You know, he's kind of just a middle of the rotation, back of the rotation. Probably back of the rotation. If you have a good rotation, he's the back of the rotation.
Bayo, yeah. Probably. Right? I mean, Hauk is closer to the top of the rotation. You're probably losing Pivetta, so you're going to have to fill in two of these guys, unless you want Cooper Criswell or, you know, one of these other minor leaguers to be part of the rotation.
About Giolito.
You got Giolito. I mean, he'll be in the mix, obviously. So there you go.
Give up some home runs.
Right hand heavy. You're going to have to go out and get a lefty. But, yeah, that's what it's looking like right now. Giolito, Crawford, Hauk, and Bayo. Who's going to be that fifth starter? And how about that bullpen, too? I mean, there's some questions there. Kenley Jansen's a free agent. He's going to be gone. Chris Martin's almost 40. I mean, like, you got
Mason Miller, go get him. Go get him.
I'd love for them to go out and get all these guys, Andy. I just don't trust them to do it. I just don't trust that that's going to happen.
You have trust issues.
I certainly do, and you don't, which I'm surprised by.
I am surprised, too. Like, people love to paint me as this negative, cynical, hardo, and for whatever reason...
You sound like Jones at the beginning of the season.
They have struck a nerve with me that I think it was Cora more than anything else. Cora's tone...
He charmed you.
He may have, and over the second, and he may be doing it intentionally, by the way. I think he's a smart man. I think he plays a lot of games, and I mean that in a positive sense. I think he takes his job very seriously, and like when he says things, he knows they have meanings.
Yeah.
Whether it's let's get greedy, whether it's doors and windows and all of those things, like there's an intentionality to, I don't think he's flippant with all his words. And I think what he did yesterday with us was intentional, and it definitely struck a nerve with me.
Yeah, all right, there you go. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. We'll continue with the Red Sox conversation. We'll switch gears to the Patriots as well as we react to some things we heard from not just Alex Van Pelt, but also from Dante Scarnecchia. We'll get to all of that, and we'll talk with Tommy Kern in the next hour. We'll get to your Red Sox phone calls right after this.